Welcome back to ITFM Insights, the podcast where we explore all things of IT financial management. I'm your host, Kiara Zapanta, and today we're kicking off a special two-part episode focused on one of the biggest shifts happening in IT today, the move towards hybrid IT. With me today is Marcus Brakewood, Managing Director at KPMG. And in this episode, we're going to discuss the core drivers behind hybrid IT strategies, the real financial trade-offs organizations are grappling with, and why public cloud isn't always the obvious choice. Marcus, so happy to have you on today. Could you kick us off by telling our listeners a little bit about your background?
Absolutely. Thank you, Kiara, for having me here. A little bit about my background. I started my career in the U.S. Army, and it was in a strategic role, not so much infantry. I was in IT and managed data centers, cyber warfare, IT operations, almost the same kind of things you do in IT in industry. After the Army, I moved to Austin and worked for Dell for a decade, doing the same stuff, IT operations, data center consolidation, cyber. In the last 10 years, I've been a consultant at KPMG. Again, the same type of work. What's really interesting was when I was at Dell, I got to implement Apptio and show Michael the first bill of IT. And I've also been supporting my clients in ITFM and Apptio while at KPMG.
That's an awesome background. So from that vantage point, you had a front row seat to the changes in cloud and infrastructure strategy over the years. So let's talk about what you're seeing in the market today. You know, what trends are you seeing that are prompting organizations to reevaluate public cloud strategies and consider hybrid IT models?
Absolutely. And there's a couple of trends. And I'll start with what the major hardware providers are doing. Right now, the major hardware providers are offering a variable-based cost model. So they have a variable-based cost model similar to the public cloud. And if you have a properly managed architecture, some organizations find they can save up to 30% at scale on premises over the public cloud. Another major trend is the cost of storage. If you look over time, over the past 5 years, SSDs, which is the really fast flash storage, is now the same price as the slow disk. And when organizations are buying storage on premise, they get it so cheap and so fast, sometimes it's hard to make a case to move it to the cloud, which still has pricing based on disk-based and SSD. There's two more trends I think that are really interesting. The one that's most recent that has really set up this year is AI. There are a lot of organizations, they start their AI journey one weekend in the cloud. They wake up the next week and look at the bill and start asking questions how much this would cost in their data center. We just finished a cost comparison for one large company, and they were able to save up to 30% bringing some of their workloads at scale into the data center. And lastly, and I think it's actually reversing direction from the data center to the cloud, is there's been a major disruption in the hypervisor market today. And hypervisors are the software that run the virtual machines in the data center. And this major disruption has caused most organizations, I'd say up to 90% of organizations we talk to reevaluate their data centers, how they're going to run virtual machines, and if they're going to continue to run them in the data center, or if they're going to move them to the cloud. So this year particularly has that major disruption. 90% of the organizations are figuring out, do I now move it from the data center to the cloud or keep it there?
Yeah, those cost trends are pretty eye-opening, especially for organizations that, you know, maybe have rushed to cloud expecting savings. But I think many now are dealing with unexpected bills. So let's talk about where those surprises really come from. So what's behind these financial surprises?
There's two that we see. And the most common one is not achieving the business case that is developed. And when a business case is first developed for cloud, it needs to list out all the different costs in the data center that are going to be removed to fund the public cloud. And we find When organizations do that business case, they forget about it during the migration, and they don't turn off servers, they don't turn off storage, they don't turn off electricity, and they end up paying the cost twice, both in the public cloud and on-premise. So they're not achieving the savings in the data center to fund the cloud. The other thing we see is after they have good adoption and developers are using the cloud to provision infrastructure and other services quickly without any budget controls. And they go over the annual budget without control, and no one really understands who did it and why. And there needs to be kind of like an investigation to see who created all these services and are they really needed.
Perfect. Yeah, those are some great points on budgeting discipline. So I think when it comes to forecasting and from an ITFM perspective, how does the cloud's, you know, variable nature complicate things in comparison to traditional infra, or does it even make a difference?
Yeah, I think that was a challenge like 5-10 years ago. The way organizations are managing cloud resources now is they convert the variable cost model into a reserved instance. So instead of paying as you go, you switch it to a 1 or 3 year lease with the cloud provider. And an example why, a lot of pay as you go, you only get a 15 to 20% discount. A lot of the reserved instances, you're up to 50, 60% discount. You just got to commit for 1 to 3 years. So most organizations we see, the vast majority of cloud services are under reserved instances and are really 1 to 3 year leases. There's rarely a lot of pay as you go. So these reserved instances have created this cottage industry within organizations where they've got people that every month are looking at the pay as you go services and figuring out which ones an organization will keep for 1 to 3 years and converting them to a lease. So there's, I'd say, less worry about budgeting for the variable cost and really figuring out which services are going to be around long enough to turn into a lease. But I do think the larger issue is still around managing a budget to actuals and not having the guardrails around what's deployed. And having the same financial diligence that you would find on premises where F&A and ITFM is doing like a budget to actuals. That's still the primary issue, is not having that budgeting rigor at the cloud level. I think this is one area that a lot of my clients are having issues budgeting and managing also. It's not variable cost. I almost think of it as like a tax on cloud. When you go set up your servers, your storage, your databases, a lot of them create two types of additional services the cloud provider may mandate. One is logging. Like there may be logs for cybersecurity, for application reasons, or for the cloud needs it. And then also the network cost to communicate back and forth to your data center and your offices. And some of our clients, like up to 30% of what they're paying in the cloud ends up being a cost of logging or a cost of network. And they don't realize that when they start. And after they get into the cloud, then they start seeing these additional costs and they have to figure out how to manage it. So again, like the variable costs, people, you know, that's kind of the past. Now it's really managing your RIs and these additional taxes like logging and network egress.
Perfect. Yeah. And when thinking of like the trade-offs between moving from public cloud versus private or on-prem, where do you see companies weighing in like the trade-offs between those three or two?
Yeah. And sorry, this is going to be a long answer. The first trade-off everyone sees is the public cloud. It just offers more features than a private cloud in the data center. And it could be a combination of PaaS-based services or AI services that you just don't have in the data center. And it's not just these features. It's also really easy to set up a new application. And you can orchestrate it really quickly, deploy it really quickly. There's a lot of complaints that in the data center that could take 1 week, 1 month, 3 months with all the processes around it. So the primary trade-off is the features and speed in the cloud versus the cost efficiency you may get in the data center. And when we talk through this with our clients, there's one main metric we look at around efficiency and to try and figure out what should be in the, like, should you move everything to the cloud? Should you keep it in the data center for these trade-offs? And it's going to be this concept called a vCPU to core. And what that means is if you look at a server, the CPU has a core. It's what can process the application. The vCPU is how many virtual CPUs you can virtualize on that core. For example, a one-to-one ratio means for every one virtual CPU, it's using one core, which is highly inefficient. And what we're finding is, these are some benchmark estimates we've seen on multiple clients. If you have a 2.5 CPU to core or lower, the cloud's probably going to be cheaper. You're not very efficient. You're probably using 30 to 45% of your infrastructure, and the rest is sitting around not being used. And then if you've got a vCPU to core ratio of 4 or higher, you're probably 30% cheaper than cloud. So if you've got this inefficient data center, it's really easy to make the decision to move to cloud because the cloud's cheaper, it's faster, and it's got more features. If you've got a 4.0 or higher vCPU to core, it's an easy decision to keep a lot of your workloads in the data center because you're probably 30% cheaper than cloud. But if you're somewhere in the middle, it's a hard decision because then you really have to trade off that cost for speed and efficiency, and it becomes a very cloudy decision. One thing we haven't talked about so far is virtual desktops, and I probably should have brought this up in a trend we're seeing right now. We're seeing a lot of organizations move their virtual desktops to the cloud, and we're often seeing the business case being cheaper in the cloud. And part of the reason is the cloud providers are offering many different ways to host VDIs that can bring the cost down. And I'd say every 10 companies we talk to is either planning or in the middle of doing this migration right now.
Got it. Yeah, that's a really helpful framework. And I think that brings us to the role of IT finance and IT leaders. You know, as companies walk this tightrope between performance, cost, and compliance, how can IT finance leaders help strike the right balance between those?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I do think the core issue is leadership managing the budget of cloud with finance support. And for one example, one of my clients asked me to run their infrastructure team for a year. And it was a manufacturing client, maybe Fortune 350 to Fortune 500. And I was able to manage the cloud budget alone. It was a small enough budget and usage, maybe 1 to 2 million a month. And what I did is I managed what my steady state was today. And then for my peers, the different application VPs, what their plans were for their project. And I managed the cloud budget just like I would the rest of the infrastructure team's budget. When you get to larger companies, digital companies, technology companies, financial services, healthcare, they have much larger implementations of cloud. And you need to break that management into the different IT application teams and the different VPs. And what finance can do is finance could come in and help run the cloud budget just like they would the financials, with an annual budget, variances every month, and with these IT VPs. I think that's the biggest thing that could be done to bring the cost under control. I think you had another question too on compliance, and it's really interesting. Some of my clients have actually found that it's easier to implement compliance and cybersecurity in the cloud because everything's built on automation. So one of the things I'd say when it comes to compliance is when you're moving your data center to the cloud, do not implement compliance controls the same way you do in the data center, which probably have a lot of manual steps. Automate as much as you can and use the cloud security and the cloud compliance tools to automate as much as possible, because it's going to be a lot cheaper than the data center.
Perfect. Yeah, those are really good insights. And as we wrap up part one, if you're an IT finance or IT leader listening today, what would you recommend are the top signals that, you know, it's time to reevaluate your cloud strategy?
Well, the first one I went over before, and it's my number one signal, which is the vCPU to core ratio. If you're under 2.5, you want to think about moving to the cloud because you don't have a lot of efficiency in your data center. If you're over 4.0, it's going to be a hard decision to move. There's a couple other metrics, one for storage. Storage is very interesting because in the data center, you have a lot of capabilities to optimize your storage. And there's the two main ones are called deduplication and compression. And it's almost like taking a big ball of data and just making it smaller and smaller, so there's less of it to store. And it's much easier to do this in the data center than cloud. And I'd say if you've got a deduplication and compression ratio of 2.5 or higher, it's going to be hard for that cloud provider to compete. So also ask about your deduplication and compression ratio for storage. VDI, it's pretty easy for me. If you're doing VDI, just go look at cloud. Just go look at it now. The other area, if you're looking for advanced features like PaaS-based functions or specific AI or data warehouse functions that are only in the cloud, go straight to cloud. You're probably not going to find them in your data center. You know, those modern functions that are cloud first, that's where you're going to find them. But with all those metrics, the vCPU, the dedupe compression ratio, nothing really beats a TCO analysis on a per unit basis. So comparing what's the cost of a VM in a data center versus the same VM in cloud, or what's the cost of 1 gigabyte of storage from one to the other. Nothing beats that. And that's going to inform you not just is one cheaper than the other, but also if you move from the data center to cloud, what cost can you remove to fund that transition?
Perfect. And I think that's a wrap on part one of our hybrid IT series. So huge thanks to Marcus for breaking down not just the trends, but also the financial realities behind today's hybrid IT decisions. So make sure to tune into part two, where we'll shift gears and dig into how to model total cost of ownership, the financial blind spots to watch out for, and the role of IT finance that should play within making hybrid IT work. In the meantime, be sure to check out IBM Apptio's new hybrid IT TCO impact solution that demonstrates the true financial impact of application migrations across your evolving hybrid IT landscape. You can find out more info on apptio.com on the blog page. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.